Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into In the Arms of the Angels, hosted by Dr. Kai McNeil on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It's Mark Rawson, and I am actually broadcasting live from France, and I'm really excited to have Dr. Connie on for another show. As you know, she's on every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can find out more about her and the radio show from our radio website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And we're really excited to announce that Dr. Connie's website is up and running. So I know a lot of you were wanting to go take a look at that. And she was in the midst of rebuilding that and everything. So that's up and running now. And you can go and see that at www.drconniesays.com. So with that, Dr. Connie, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. All yours.
All righty. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I'm very excited to have my website up. And one of the things that I put on it was a guide for having to do with relationships. And there is a buku of information on there on how to find the great person that you want to be with. Somehow something's not working because a lot of people sit home alone on a Friday and a Saturday night. So I developed a guide for how to stay single and how to stay in a mundane relationship, because as much as we want to have this great relationship, and being a psychologist and having as many clients as I have had come to me and say, I really want this great thing, and then not moving forward in it, I actually have been able to come up with, based on my years of experience, ways that don't work, ways that if you things you may be doing that you're not aware of that keep you from getting the relationship that you want. So it's kind of backwards. It's people, I really want this relationship, but I'm doing A, B, and C that's not getting me there. So it is on my website. It is for purchase, but you go on, take a look. If you feel that it would be something that might be beneficial for you, go ahead and take a look at it, because the way that we live in our relationships, for most of us, it just doesn't have to be that way. What we think is that when we find this relationship, that somehow it's going to change us. It's going to make us happy. We're never going to be lonely again. We're going to have our best friend with us all the time. We're going to have our confidant. We're going to have someone who's going to listen to us. We're going to have someone to help us. And every life is going to be perfect when we find this relationship. Well, those of you that have been in relationships know that that's not right. Once the honeymoon period is over, we're pretty much back to the same person that entered the relationship to begin with. So people ask me, how come the angels don't bring me my relationship? Or I've prayed and I keep asking God and I keep, you know, burning candles, or I do rituals, and I do so many things, and I can't seem to find my relationship. And I'm wondering what's going on. It's very important for us to understand that relationships, and I know you know this at some level, but I've got to tell you this anyway. Relationships were not developed to fix us. Relationships were not developed to somehow make us a whole person. Relationships were not developed to take away our problems or make us not lonely anymore or whatever. We've kind of turned it into that because what's happened for so many of us, when we grow up and when we get hurt, most of us, our self-esteem is not as high as we would like. I've been in therapy sessions as the patient for self-esteem groups when I was, in fact, it was a relationship that got me into that group. And that's something that I'll share with you here in just a second. But in the relationship, it was so difficult. It was probably 10 women or so. So difficult for us to really, do things to love and nurture ourselves. So what we do is we have these gaping wounds, and we think, maybe not consciously, but we think, I'm going to find somebody, and that somebody is going to fix me, is going to fix me and make me all better and fill this wound that I have. Well, the problem with that is the wound, if somebody else tries to fill it, is a bottomless pit. So I go after my guy, and I need him to give me something. I need his time, or I need him to take care of me, or I need something from him, and I don't get it. Then I start getting angry and I start getting looking around for somebody else. Oh, this relationship just isn't going to work. And that's because I have put too much responsibility on my partner for trying to make me something that the only person that can fill this gaping wound is me. So it's very difficult for a lot of people to take the time to focus on themselves because we are an instant society. And it's very hard to teach patience to somebody who has instant messaging and, you know, instant everything. It's very hard to allow the angels to work within us, to put us in a place where we're whole enough to be in a relationship. The angels are not going to bless us with our divine partner if we are not in a place to be able to receive the love of our divine partner. And if I can't love me to the point of taking care and nurturing myself, I can't really go into a relationship and want to be able to nurture that relationship. Anything I cannot do for me, I cannot do in a relationship. And if I feel unlovable within myself, then I'm going to expect too much from my mate and probably end up sabotaging the relationship. I was speaking to someone recently and they were saying, well, I'm just going to wait till I find my partner and then I'm going to go into business with my partner. And I'm not going to do anything until my partner comes, and then I'm going to make all of these grand changes, which you know and I know that's not going to happen. My partner is not fundamentally going to change me. So it's putting too much pressure on someone else, and then I end up getting annoyed and angry and jealous and hurt because I'm not getting from my guy what I want when I'm really asking for all the wrong things. I have people that come to me and they say, I feel like I married my mother or my father, or I feel like everything that I wanted to not have in my home, I have in my home now. And that's because when we attract someone, we are going to attract people at the vibrational level where we are right now. So if I have been in a home, let's say there was a lot of lying and manipulating in my home, and I observe that and I live at that vibrational level, then it would not be unusual for me to go out and attract someone who is either going to manipulate me or I'm going to manipulate them, because that's the vibrational level at which I am, which I am. So I can't attract, if I'm vibrating at a 2, I can't attract a 10. Now, I can work with my angels to work on myself so that I change my vibrational level. And you know that your vibrational level is changing when you start attracting people that treat you better. You start attracting people that respect you. You start attracting people that don't want to take advantage of you. So if you're wondering what kind of level you're vibrating at in relationships, check out the people that you're attracting. And if that's not what you want, then you know that you can ask your angels for something different. You may get what you don't want in order to find out what it is you do want. If you ask somebody, you know, what do you want for Christmas? Christmas is coming up here in a few months. What do you want for Christmas? Oh, I don't know. I don't know what I want. But I bet you they could tell you a laundry list of things they don't want. So sometimes the angels will work with us and allow us to see things that do not work for us, which is one of the reasons why I think that they worked with me in devising this guide for staying single. Because it's easier to learn from your mistakes, or it's easier to learn when something is not going well. So one of the things that the angels will do is they will allow relationships to come to us as a learning tool. So let's say that I have abandonment issues. In comes somebody. Well, the first thing that I'm going to probably start experiencing is, once the honeymoon period is over, one of the first things I may start experiencing is feelings of abandonment, because that's a fundamental issue for me in a relationship. So I now have a choice. I can run and say, oh, this isn't working and this feels really icky and I don't like it and I don't want to see you anymore, so I can just run. I can just stay in it and kind of suffer and be unhappy, but I can stay in it. Or I could take that opportunity to say, wow, this is something that really is an issue for me. Let me figure out with the angels how to work on it. I didn't realize that my abandonment issues or my trust issues or my whatever, just fill in the blank, hits me at such a deep level. Because my abandonment is now going to put up a wall between me and the person I want to have a relationship with. And that's when I start grasping and pulling and maybe controlling or doing something to try to make the relationship go my way, because now I'm in fear mode. Because we only respond out of love or respond out of fear. And anytime I need something from you, I'm in fear mode. So if I send you this flowery text and I tell you how awesome I think you are, and I don't get a response from you, I can either say, well, you know, I was really just in that moment of love and I feel really good about having shared that. Or I could say, well, that, you know, blankety blank person, how dare them not respond to me, I just won't say anything more to them ever again. One is responding out of love, one is responding out of fear. I can only respond one way or the other. So if I'm in a relationship and my issues come up, they are going to be relationships of fear, which means I am bringing fear into my relationship with this individual. So now I have an opportunity with the angels and thank them for this divinely selected relationship to bring up to the surface issues that I need to work on, issues that keep me from being the best I can be, issues that may keep me from having the relationship that I want. Because if I don't resolve my abandonment issues or my trust issues or whatever issues we're talking about, if I don't resolve these issues, they're going to show up in another relationship. And it doesn't have to be a love relationship. It can be a relationship with your boss or your parents or the person next door or some meaningful relationship. If I don't resolve my issues when they come to the surface, trust me, they are going to come to the surface again. So when something comes up in a relationship, I have the opportunity of saying thank you for making me aware of this. And then you find a way to cope with that. You find a psychologist, or you find a spiritual mentor. You find there's hosts of venues if people want to work on themselves on a spiritual level, angelically, you won't have a problem. Ask the angels, and the angels will guide you to the right individual to help you with these issues of whatever blocks you from this relationship that you want. Imagine walking around with this plexiglass shield around you, and you see this great somebody, and you go over there and you want to have a relationship with them, and they run right into your plexiglass shield. No one even knew it was there. Or what happens is, let's say I want to have a relationship with Mark, and he's got his own issues, and now he's in relationship with me, and now he's in his own issues. I'm in relationship with him. I'm in my own issues. So we're both surrounded by our plexiglass. And every time we try to come up with each other, now both of us are bumping each other with our plexiglass shields. So don't think this is just about you. When you are in a relationship with somebody, it's very possible they're also having issues themselves. Because again, you're at a vibrational level where you're pulling people in that are vibrating at the same level you are, so they might have the same issues or they might have other issues, but they do have issues. So we're all bumping around, you know, bumping off people with our plexiglass shields, and we don't even know that we have them. That's when we can thank the angels. And two of the angels that I want to mention specifically, both of them are archangels. Archangel Raphael, he's often known as the healing angel, but he is also the angel that helps us connect with our soulmate. So Archangel Raphael, you can call on him for a guidance and how to connect with your divine partner. The other angel, and his name sounds familiar, is Raguel. It's R-A-G-U-E-L. So it's Archangel Raguel. He is the archangel to come on when you are in a relationship and you are having arguments or misunderstandings. He's the one that brings harmony to relationships. If there are people that you have lost contact with, there are three people actually that I have in my life space, and every night I ask Archangel Raguel two things. One is to bring harmony and connection with these relationships. And the second one is to let me know what I need to do in order to make the relationship work. Because the only person I can change and the only person that I have that I can be fully responsible for is me. And it doesn't matter if the other person is acting in a particular way. I'm still responsible for how I react. And nobody can make me feel any way unless I choose to go there. So part of learning in relationships is learning to take personal responsibility for your own emotional well-being. And if somebody does something and I choose to react in a particular way, then I get to take responsibility for how I chose to act instead of blaming my partner. And one thing more about soulmates. You may not marry us. Either you have a bunch of soulmates. Soulmates are the group of people when you reincarnate. They're your traveling group. A lot of souls kind of come back and you reincarnate together again to have another life. Some of these individuals you will feel a tremendous connection to. That doesn't necessarily mean you were meant to be with them, but they are in your life to teach you a lesson. So you get to have, you get to have the relationship with them as a learning experience. And sometimes soulmates come back and they will wound you. They love you enough and they chose to come back, and you, before you reincarnated, you guys contracted. We're going to come back and I'm not going to be your whatever in this lifetime, but I'm going to be the burr under your saddle, or I'm going to be the person that encourages you, or I'm going to be the person to break your heart, because it's getting your heart broken that's going to open you up. Somebody needs to bring you down to your knees. That's what you need in this lifetime. And I love you enough, and we have traveled enough lifetimes together, that I'm going to be the one to do that. So sometimes our soul, the ones who wound us, are our master teachers. because, again, we learn a lot more from being wounded than when something goes well. So you will marry a life partner slash soulmate slash whatever, but not every soulmate is going to be the one that you connect with. So I just wanted to make that differentiation, because you're going to come back and there's going to be people and you're going to feel like you've known them forever. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be with them, but they are there to teach you a lesson, or be there to be of some sort of support for you. A lot of people are unhappy in a relationship because they settled or they compromised. We usually end up settling when we get tired of waiting. So I wanted, you know, this great thing, and I just got tired of waiting, and this guy was there, and the ring fit, you know, the tux fit, so I married him, kind of thing. Or the fear of what I'm really asking the angels, I'm not going to get. Or we think we married something, like Don Miguel Ruiz in The Four Agreements says, a lot of people are unhappy in relationships because they wanted a dog, but they married a cat. Now they're mad that the cat won't bark. So a lot of times we think we wanted something and we thought we were getting it, but we just found out that we either rushed into the relationship or there were red flags all over the place and we just didn't pay attention to them because of our own fear or our own impatience. Mark, I'm going to let you get back on. And if you're there, and do your spiel at the half hour.
Okay. All right. So you've been listening to In the Arms with the Angels with Dr. Connie McNeil. You're listening to this on Spiritual Connections Radio, and our website is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. As always, we're happy to announce that Dr. Connie's website is up and running, and you can go to that at drconniesays.com. And make sure that you go to her website and sign up for her newsletter. And when you sign up for her newsletter, you can get a free angel reading that's sent to you as a PDF. It's not something that's one of the regular services. You can actually book those and everything to the website also, which you can do by booking an appointment and by clicking on the payment button that's on the website. So thank you for listening. And Dr. Connie, I got a call when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Is it Melvin?
Yes.
Melvin, you're on with Dr. Connie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. Thank both of you all.
You're very welcome. I tell you what, you're just being international tonight. You're bouncing all the way from France back over to United States. So you're quite the traveler this evening.
Oh, I was in France?
Yeah. When you were talking to Mark, you were in France there for a bit. How was it? How was the trip?
I didn't know I was in France. It was okay, I guess.
Yeah. So how can I help you this evening?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to see what you're picking up on a friend of mine that I'm definitely interested in. She knows it a little bit, but I don't think she knows how much. And do you see a connection between her and I in the future?
Okay. So do you have a question or?
Oh, that's my question. My question is, do you see a connection, like, with us in a relationship in the future?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
All right. All right. So you're asking me if this lady is the one?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Let me I'm going to use my Archangel Michael cards because he is a very powerful angel and has a lot to do with breaking down walls and that kind of a thing. So,
okay.
Now, does this lady know that you're interested in her?
I think she has a little clue, but not much.
Well, now, darling, how do you think that she's going to be able to know anything if you don't tell her?
Well, actually, I'm gonna ask her out for breakfast or something real simple. We work at a hospital at night, and she works on my shift, and I'm gonna ask her tonight when I go in.
Okay. So here are two things that she is going to be immediately attracted to about you. One is your happy demeanor.
Okay.
If you are upbeat, she's the kind of lady that goes for an upbeat guy. So she is going to notice you when you are like and very confident about yourself. So you walk in, you're very assured, you have a good sense of humor, and you're the kind of guy that I'm trying to figure out how to say this. You're flexible. You're very flexible. So you may have been thinking IHOP for breakfast, and she may have been thinking of something totally different, and that you would be able to go into whatever she was thinking and be really cool with it. Does that make sense?
Yes. I was going to let her be the leeway.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, you're not thinking, oh, my gosh, if she doesn't pick pancakes, I don't know what to do because all I ever have for breakfast is pancakes. And she wants tacos. So you think having tacos for breakfast is just the greatest thing ever. That's perfect because that's what she's looking for, is somebody who can go with the way that she goes, you know, really well. And the more confident you are in yourself and the more you find it fun, and you bring fun and humor into it, the more she's going to really like you. And as you get into the relationship, then you'll know if this is the lady that you want to hook up with.
So we are going, when I ask her, will she go out with me?
Oh, yeah. How could she not? You're confident. You're letting her take the lead. You're happy. Yeah. Even if she doesn't go on the first, if you really want this gal, you've got the power to create an opening to go out with her. And then you'll know, once you're with her for a while, then you'll know and she'll know whether you want it to go any further. But you just be who you are. You just be who you are but you gotta let her know.
Okay. Well, how close I am to being right about for is her interest in me? I mean, is this something that she wish I just step up and ask her? Or she's not paying attention to that?
Okay. I get the sense that she's interested. I get the sense that she wouldn't say no. I get the sense that she wouldn't say no. And that, not that she's like interested, oh, let's run off to, you know, Reno and get married, but I'm interested in seeing where this can develop.
Okay.
I get the sense that you're more attracted to her than she is to you. But you have the power to change that. And when you bring in your confidence and you bring in your happy demeanor and you're very flexible, I think she might go for that. But I do get the sense that there's an interest there, and that she wouldn't, if she said no initially, she'll eventually say yes.
Okay, that's great. Well, I mean, I was thinking about writing a letter and just handing it to her, because I really don't want to get in no trouble on my job. Would that be better, or just I just walk up and say, hey, you want to catch some breakfast this morning?
Well, what
Which
do you think? What do you think?
I was thinking about just walking up to her. Hey, you hungry this morning? Something, you know, ask her out.
There you go. Absolutely. If that's what you're feeling, then that's what you need to do.
Right.
Because
this
is where.
Job, and I want to be totally professional on my job.
Oh, of course, but there's a, of course, but one of the things that Archangel Michael wants you to know is to be confident, and just walk up there and who wouldn't want to go out for breakfast with you? I mean, that's the kind of attitude with this woman is, of course you'd want to go out with me. Who wouldn't want to go out with me? Kind of thing.
Right.
So that's very cool.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely go for it.
Okay.
She's going to go. Again, she may not go the first time. I don't know. You may catch her on a bad day, or she might be busy. Don't be discouraged. But because if you just continue being the guy you are, she'll go out with you.
Well, what I can't get, like sometimes we're all the time, you know, I walk by her, I speak, she speaks. But we never had a real conversation about nothing, only but about the job. If I'm working on that unit that night, then we'll talk about the job. But for it's like sitting down and just, you know, talking or having a conversation, she give me that look of like a mean look. Like, I don't know if that's her guard up just to keep me thinking like, oh, no. You know, it's kind of. That's why I'm hesitant about stepping up and asking her.
Well, I'm just all I'm telling you is what Michael's telling me to tell you, that just to be confident.
Okay.
Just
yes,
be
ma'am.
Confident. And be happy.
Okay. And I will. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, sir. Good luck.
Okay.
I don't. Yes. Anybody else?
No, that's it for now.
Okay, cool. All right. So here's what I want you to do. Not you, Mark, but you out there. What I want you to do. Oh, Mark, I do have a question for you. So, how would it feel for you? So I'm in relationship with you, but I keep wanting more from you than what you're able to give me. How does that make you feel?
I would say that it feels very codependent and very needy. And, you know, I guess if I step out of the teacher's role and just go into the relationship role, I would be looking at it from the aspects of, you know, is there something in yourself that needs to be filled by you that you're trying to fill by using me? And I think, unfortunately.
But how does it feel? No. But how does it feel for you as a guy? How does it feel for you if a woman is wanting more from you than you feel like that you can give?
I would say it would feel very bad. Like I said, it's all based on where I'm at. I mean, for a certain time in my life, if you went back a year ago, I would feel really good about that because I'd feel like you needed me, and then that would fulfill something in me that needed to be worked on from my angle. So, you know, I might look at that and say, well, yeah, she needs me, so that makes me feel good.
But then it gets old real fast.
And then if you kind of shift into a different phase of where you at, where you're at in your own personal growth, where, you know, you don't personally need that yourself, then you would look at it and say, well, all right, well, you're kind of being too demanding. You're smothering me or something along those lines. And then you would push back.
Right. Right. It ends up being the exact opposite. So first, I really needed you to take care of me. And then after that little piece of me got filled up, now I'm angry because you're trying to control me.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't let me do anything that I want to do. That's what I'm thinking that I'm hearing you say, is that it flips. It's like a pendulum, and it goes the complete other direction.
Yeah. I think if you look at that, if you look at two individuals, I think there's like six different variations on which way they can go based on where I am in my personal growth, where you are in your personal growth, and then, you know, what am I bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table as positive and negatives? And then how do those interact with each other? And then based on that, you are going to come out with those, you know, those variables of either feeling like you're being controlled or feeling like you're being manipulated or, you know, anything along those lines. It all depends on where you're at. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, I would say, and I know you and I have talked about this a little bit, and I just kind of covered this in one of my online programs. I would say that probably 98% of all relationships out there are codependent. That means that the one person depends on the other and the other person depends on the other. And it's just this, you know, it's the nature of the way a lot of relationships are. And that's because we come into the relationships with a mindset or ideas based on the role models we had. And, you know, sometimes those role models are good. Sometimes those role models are bad, depending on what type of parents we've had or what other people we had in our life to role model relationships for us. So I think it's the Hendersons in their book, Getting the Love You Want, talks about the fact that we generally, and I think a lot of it, they talk about marriage, that we generally get into marriages with a significant other or partner that it has a lot of the negative and positive traits of our mother and father. And sometimes in most situations, that would be the negative traits. So, you know, I might come into the relationship with a lot of the negative traits of my mother and my father. And I bring those into the relationship as my identity of who I am and what I think the relationship should be. You know, it reminds me of a lot of things going on with one of my friends now where, you know, for him, his role model growing up was his father beating his mother. You know, so to him, you know, even though he doesn't agree with it, there is this mindset that abuse of a partner is an acceptable form of how you express yourself. And, you know, we kind of look at these things that we bring to the table when we come into the relationship. And sometimes I think a lot of it might also come from the different relationships we're in and the experience we've had. You know, if you've had, you know, six relationships or seven relationships in your life, you're going to be influenced by each of those. You know, if you had someone who cheated on you or if you've had somebody that, you know, was abusive or an alcoholic or something like that, you know, you're going to bring those forward, you know, into the relationship. That's why when we talk about the spiritual aspects of relationships, we talk about the fact that people need to make sure before they leave a relationship that they learn everything they can from it. And that they understand what was their responsibility in the failure of the relationship. And that doesn't mean that the relationship ended because of something you did. It could have been the other person. But, you know, you have to realize that, well, you know, relationships don't happen in a vacuum. You know, there's two people involved and there's always two sides to the story. And, you know, lots of times you might have gone through the whole relationship and not even looking, you've never looked at your responsibility for what you were doing in the relationship that might have been triggering that other person or might have been causing a lot of the problems in the relationship.
Correct. So one of the things that I wanted to ask really quick and discuss was, how do you know when a relationship is over? Some people I know, you can stay in a relationship and this relationship move you forward. Some people stay in a relationship because it actually keeps them small and they get to hide and they don't have to take the big giant leap and take a risk of things that they could do because they look at, they keep themselves mired and stuck in this relationship. So they don't end up moving anywhere. But they think in their head they're moving somewhere, even though if you're on the outside looking in, it's they're not going anywhere. So how do you know when the relationship is over?
I think when you cease to find happiness in it, or when you cease to find any balance in it, there's probably a number of items that would make up a punch list of you know, signs or red flags or whatever that the relationship is over. I think if you start to see any disrespect, like if you're involved with a male partner and he's out sleeping around with other people, you know, that's probably a good indicator that the relationship is over. You know, if you look at the fact that you're being verbally abused all the time, or that the, you know, maybe, you know, and let's look at the positive side of it. Maybe the two of you just basically feel that you learned enough from each other and you both agreed that there's nothing else to be learned, and you decide when you sit down with each other and say, you know what, I think it's time for both of us to move into another relationship. So, and I don't think it always has to be such a negative ending. It could just be two people coming to an understanding that, you know, there's no future and that two people have decided to go separate ways.
Right. It's not every relationship was meant to last for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Because relationships are learning tools, and you have to look at the big picture of, I have had 100 lifetimes. So, and I'm going to have 100 more lifetimes or 1,000 more lifetimes. So in my lifetimes, my relationships not only mold me for this lifetime, but I also bring into other lifetimes things I have learned from, like I will bring into my future lifetimes things that I have learned from this, from my lifetime here. So not every relationship is meant to last a lifetime. If you are in an abusive relationship, you do not have to ask, do I need to stay here? The answer is no. If you are being physically abused, sexually abused, emotionally abused, verbally abused, the answer is no. You're done. Relationship is done. It's over. You've learned everything you need to learn from that relationship. I wouldn't take this program and say, okay, now we've learned about relationships, I'm going to break up with you now. You get to, like, exactly what Mark said. Excuse me. Is what did I learn? What are the lessons? What was the value that I had from being with you? What do I want to take? And what did you teach me that I want to take into other relationships? What did I teach you that I hope that you would take? And what did I learn that I do not ever want to do again? Mark, could you talk for just a second, because I can't talk.
Okay. So it was very interesting. I was actually out on a website, you know, doing some research as we were talking, and I was looking at the different explanations of soulmates versus twin flames versus what they call karmic relationships. And one of the things that it says here, it says half of the marriages fail simply because those marriages are made of two karmic people, joint, what they call joint debtors. The two are temporarily brought together in a codependent union where they are triggered to start their own karmic workup and eventually break free. So it's interesting that it's described that way because it kind of talks about, and this is actually the first time I've actually heard of anything called the karmic relationship before. I've heard of soulmates and twin flames and stuff like that. But it's very interesting that it basically says that before we come into this lifetime, we're set up with an agreement where as two souls, we decide to come back to actually work out something that wasn't completed in another lifetime. And they say that that basically explains why half of the marriages fail is because it's basically two people being brought together to clear stuff. And then after the work is done, and I like the way that they use the word triggers. I don't know if everybody on the radio has ever heard that before. We talk about triggers in a lot of different ways. Triggers are generally basically someone says something to you and you get angry over it. It kind of hits a nerve. It could be something that you were just brought up with as far as your belief system. It could be just something that is just you feel very strongly about. And sure enough, you know, you're in a relationship with somebody where you allow that person in very closely to you. And then you find out that these are the people who can kind of get you angry very, very quickly. And, you know, before you know it, you're fighting and you're arguing and you're having all this disagreements and stuff like that. And, you know, when we talk about personal work, you know, kind of stepping away from the relationship model for a minute, when we talk about personal work, because you can be triggered by, you know, bosses, you can be triggered by family members and stuff like that. When we talk about personal work, I always tell people that, you know, if you want to look at something you need to work on as far as your personal growth, the best way of doing it is just to look at like what makes you angry. You know, and that could be just your interactions with people during the day. It could be stuff that happens while you're driving, stuff like that. Because I have a firm belief that I always tell people that you're the only person that can make you angry. And that's because you are the one in any situation, if you're specifically being present and not living in the past or living in the future, meaning kind of allowing your thoughts to go in either of those directions instead of being present in the moment. You'll generally find that you're the one that actually interprets moment by moment the different things that are happening to you. So you could, you know, as an example, if someone was to turn to you, you know, let's say a family member and say something very unkind to you, such as you're a selfish person, you know, you could look at that based on who you're at and what your life experience is and what you have under your belt as far as how you deal with things. And you could look at that and you could personally own it. You could take ownership of it and somehow that would make you cry or it could make you angry or anything like that, because for some reason it kind of corresponds with something else that happened in your life. And then all of a sudden you get really angry over it. And that's what we call a trigger. And in that situation, that is an opportunity. We say that in spiritual growth, that's an opportunity for you to look at something in yourself to realize that you can kind of look at that situation and say, well, there's something I can go work on. Why would I get angry if someone says something to me? And this is actually a really important lesson that my friend Kathy was coaching me on about a month or two ago, where she said, basically, why, Mark, are you concerned about anything that anybody else has to say? You know who you are. So why would you be concerned about anything that anybody says about you? And I had to kind of think about that for a moment, because for a lot of my life, I am very concerned about the fact that everybody around me is happy and that, you know, if they're not happy and it's because of me, then it must be about me. And as we learned from the four agreements, as Dr. Connie had mentioned earlier, lots of times, a lot of stuff that's going on, 99% of the time, has nothing to do with us. And, you know, so these are always opportunities to kind of look and see, you know, what is it that we can work on? How can we interpret things differently? You know, and be able to kind of walk away from those situations where no matter what someone says to you, that basically it wouldn't have any impact on you. Because if you truly know who you are and and you don't, and you've done all the work as far as the things that impact you, then you would basically, you wouldn't be impacted by something like that. And I think that's the true nature of understanding. You know, a lot of people say we create our own reality, almost as though we can put energy out there and change events and everything. But I think the true nature of it is to be able to kind of take a step back and realize that it's all about how you interpret each of the situations you're in. All right, you back there, Dr. Connie?
I'm here. So sorry. Okay. Thank you so much for stepping in there. I couldn't go anywhere. Mark, I agree with everything you said. And for a lot of us, that growth is going to be instigated by some type of relationship. Again, it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship, but something is going to, I call them buttons. It's like when I grow up and I get hurt or I don't understand or I have an expectation or whatever, I get a button. And then somebody's going to come and somebody's going to push my button. But it's my button. So I can't get angry at Mark for pushing my button because all he is the button pusher. And I can learn to thank him for being the button pusher because that's what brings these things that I need to work on to the surface. And I know that I'm growing when you know, somebody comes and tries to push my button again and my reaction is different.
Yeah.
That's how I know that I have shifted. But I get to learn to be grateful for the people who push my buttons because they are my master teachers. That's why we're all connected. We get so concerned that we're not going to have a date for the prom, and somehow we look at that as that we're lonely and disconnected from everybody, but we're so connected that everybody gets to learn and kind of grow from everybody else. So.
All right. I think we're ready to wrap up.
Yes, I believe we are.
So just a reminder to everybody, make sure to go out to drconniesays.com and check out that new informational thing about relationships that you can purchase and download. It gets sent to you as a PDF and is a great write-up about all the different things. And she does a really good twist on it by saying, here's all the things you can do to guarantee that you won't ever have a relationship. So make sure to go out there and check it out. Go to our website, sign up for our newsletter. You get a free PDF angel reading returned to you as soon as you sign up for the newsletter. And that way you'll be in the loop in any of the updated information and everything she'll be sending out in her newsletter coming up next month. And with that, I say goodnight to you, Dr. Connie, and I just want to let everybody know that you've been listening to Dr. Connie McNeil in the Arms of the Angels. She's on every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you missed any part of the show or if you want to just go back and listen to it again, this show and all the other shows are up in the archives. You can simply go back to the link for the radio show that you listened to this evening. And if you go to the archives and stuff, you'll actually be able to see all the previous radio shows that are there. So you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Good night, everybody.
Good night.